Good day, ladies and gents. You are listening to Recovery 101 Masterpiece Radio. This program is based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more so like having a coffee and chatting about various crap afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. That's right, folks. Another show is here brimming over with recovery. So remember, we used to suffer from insanity, but now we do so enjoy it. So please sit back, relax, partake, and thank you so much for your support, likes, and comments at recovery101.net. It's listeners like you that keep us in the garage and off the blues.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our Masterpiece Theater edition of the Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NEOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAMOUSE.
A lot of them we don't speak for several times.
Well, at least PA. Yeah. And HA. I so don't speak for them, I mention them twice. Maybe even HA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Hey!
What's up?
How's your days?
Not
either
dead
one
yet.
Of you. Not dead yet. Okay.
Well, hey.
That's the update from Shelly.
I didn't know we had anything to celebrate.
And I got a lot of things going on with me, and my thing isn't even that I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, I know.
How's your day?
My day's been a day. I actually worked most of the day.
It's been a day.
I actually worked most of the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, last show, I think it was last show, you were talking about you were going to go to Arizona.
Went to Arizona.
How did that go?
Back from Arizona.
How did it go?
All went good. Everything's good. People are doing what they're doing.
Well, that's...
I'll be back there again in a month.
That's always helpful.
Yeah.
How does that happen? See, that doesn't usually happen in my life.
I'm eating soup.
Maybe I'm more imposing than you are.
Debbie soup.
I could see that.
Debbie made soup.
Yes, it's very good, Debbie. Thank you.
Yes.
She doesn't listen to the show.
I was going to say, even though she doesn't listen to the show, but that does not absolve me of my responsibility to show my appreciation.
So I had eye surgery.
You did.
And I went in for laser. And laser surgery is kind of weird because it hurts, but it doesn't hurt in a you broke your bone sort of way. It's like an incredibly annoying pain. Like someone taking flash
bulbs. As opposed to all those pains we love?
Well, I don't know. It depends who you talk to, Miss 50 Shades of Grey there.
I've never even read the book.
You've never read the book?
I read parts of the book, and it was horrible, so I didn't bother to finish it. Why bother? It sucked.
See, normally when I say I've never read the book, that means I have nary picked it up, not like I've read a few chapters. See, to me, when you say I read a few chapters, I'm thinking, yeah, she read the book by definition. Yeah, they did 2,363 laser blasts inside my eye. And the nurse's assistant said...
Who did it? Darth Vader?
The nurse's assistant said, wow, that's a lot more than people usually get in one treatment. And he kept telling me, do you want to cry, uncle? And I'm like, no, I want to finish it. And he kept saying, like, he'd do a few more things. I'd be like, oh. And he'd be like, you okay? He goes, it's a good thing you got a high threshold for pain. And I said, well, I got hit by a car once. So this beats the hell out of breaking through someone's windshield after going up over their hood. And he says, oh. And he goes, yeah, people don't usually go this long. And he goes, well, you just let me know if you can't make it. And I said, look, I said, I am going to tell you if I can't make it. But I really want to do this all at one time if we could.
I'm dedicated to seeing.
Yeah. They put a speculum on your eye, and then they put this, it looks like a marble or something that, like, reflects, it's like got a, some kind of, magnifying glass, and that's what they fire the laser through. And it's quite bright.
You'd think if they fired a light through a magnifying glass, his brain would have exploded.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it did.
They weren't actually fixing his eye. They were burning out parts of his brain.
Maybe it did.
I had to pay a lot for that.
Yeah.
Although I did, you know, I've been on hover duty for weeks and weeks now, and I fell down on the job after we left. He's got this massive headache. And I'm like, don't worry. I'll get you some Tylenol. I'll get you some Tylenol. Don't worry. Let's get out to the car. I'm steering him around because at this point he can't really see. His eyes are dilated and he's just had a million flash bulbs going on.
Yeah, she tries to kill me.
And we're going out to the parking lot and there's a wad of gum on the sidewalk. And in my effort, as we were going into the parking lot to steer him around the gum, I accidentally steered him straight into a brick wall.
She ran me straight into a wall.
That's funny.
I didn't mean to. And then I felt bad. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. I'm like, thump. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's just funny. I don't care.
But you didn't step on the gum. That was the important part.
That's right. Your shoes are fine.
So that I didn't have to clean off the gum.
Your forehead will heal.
Yeah.
The hilarity. Me slamming into the brick wall. So. Oh.
What?
Let me just wait for Shelly to...
Yeah, everybody will have to excuse the amount of
Shelly,
coughing on this
Shelly
show.
Shelly and her disease vector here.
I'm not a disease vector. They tell me I'm not contagious. I had a severe sinus infection, and unfortunately the process of taking the antibiotic is making the cough and the headiness worse than it was before. But they tell me that's normal. We shall see.
That's why I brought her soup.
Well, you know what that means.
What's it mean?
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. Not bad. You guys got kind of tight
dudes. Boozy news today.
Oh, I got it.
We had a new follower named David.
Hey, Dave.
So shout out to David. Shout outs also to Dakota, Natalie, Carol, John, Take 12 Radio, Joey, Sally, James, Randy, Stryker, Alexandria, Georgette, Jack, Bill, Joe, Fran, Dan, Neil, Damon, Brian, and Elizabeth.
Shout out.
Yes.
Cool. Where's Katie been?
Shout, let it all out. Last week, Elizabeth went pretty crazy on the news.
Yeah.
First news story from Elizabeth.
Utah.
Small town 911 call takes 10 hours.
Wait.
To make the call?
No, to answer the call.
Oh. What? That's not 911.
Well, I think that's the whole gist of the story, is that's not really 911.
Were they on hold or something? I mean, what the heck?
It was a town called Monticello, and...
I'm guessing they don't have their own PD.
I think they do because it was a report of a Monticello police officer assaulting a man and was also possibly driving drunk.
Oh.
Oh, well, no wonder it took 10 hours.
He was the only officer on duty, right?
Yeah, and they had to wait for his BAC to go down so that he couldn't be thrown in for DUI.
The dispatcher and the police chief were laughing about it. So there's a little investigation going on. It is San Juan County Sheriff's Office is the ones that went to check it out. An investigation has been underway from them. He got arrested. The guy, the police officer that was in question, Officer Young, 36, was arrested and booked on suspicion of two misdemeanor counts of assault and criminal trespass. Did not get busted for the drunk driving. Apparently did not get pulled over.
By the time they got to him, his blood alcohol content would have been way down.
Yeah, 10 hours
time. If you live in Monticello in San Juan County, forget 911. Okay, Bill sent this. Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
One of Shelly's favorite stores.
Well, sort of.
By the way.
Depends on what.
Why don't you just tell people.
The 14th greatest product known to mankind.
The 14th greatest product known to mankind.
Cookie butter. I just discovered it.
You did?
Yeah.
You didn't know about cookie butter?
I didn't know about
Apparently
cookie
Mark
butter.
Knows about cookie butter.
Yeah.
I heard a vague something somebody said about
that. That may move up on your list.
Well, I have some now. I got it. But somebody made a vague mention of how much they liked cookie butter. And I'm like, what the heck is cookie butter? And somebody else said they have it at Trader Joe's. So I decided I'm going to check it out and... Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can only have, because of my stupid medical restrictions, I can only have 1 tablespoon on a piece of toast. 1 tablespoon at a time because it's 6 grams of fat.
So cookie butter.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
has nothing on triple ginger beer.
Sure,
it does. Is it ginger ale or ginger beer? Is it alcoholic?
It's ginger beer.
Beer. Sure, okay. It does. Beer.
They are working frantically to recall it all.
Why?
Yeah, I was going to say, would anyone like to know why they're recalling the beer? The bottles have a tendency to explode.
Oh, my goodness. Did they over-carbonate it or something?
Well,
I would think the ginger would take care of that.
Do you know where Trader Joe's is centered? Monrovia. I did not know that.
Okay.
Well, now you know.
It says the Monrovia Company. They have a press release that everything purchased between November 9th and December 14th.
It's just about everything for the holidays.
With the SKU number 51857 are potentially hazardous due to the risk of explosion.
So save them for the 4th of July?
Or January 1st.
Yeah.
Well, and it is a carbonated. Oh, it's a non-alcoholic beverage.
That's what I was wondering, because ginger beer is usually non-alcoholic.
They do not pose a health risk if you are going to drink them, so don't worry about that. So, you know, in case you're thinking you might drink it and have your stomach explode, apparently that's not
so
going to happen.
So open it carefully is what they're saying.
Apparently, yes. No injuries or illnesses have been to date, but they're
what fun is this?
They're moving to pull the ginger, here's a quote, as a precautionary action because on the heels of some customer complaints that the company received of unopened bottles shattering or bursting. So here's what I don't get. It talks about no occurrences of it yet, but they're pulling it because of people telling them about occurrences of exploding
bottles.
It's a
poorly written
story. It's a poorly written article then.
Yes. Yes. It goes to Trader Joe's stores nationwide. So they're working on that. Okay, Star Wars news. Now, we know the movie came out, yes?
We know this.
Yeah, I've heard.
Our friend James stood in line for like 5 hours, then sat in the theater for like 2.5 hours. Apparently got spectacular seats to see the movie.
And?
The people in Hollywood. the Arclight Theater in Hollywood.
Yes. Been there.
They were not so happy.
Why was this, Bruce? Why?
When the movie stopped and then started again 20 minutes too far into the movie.
Oh.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Oops.
So here they are watching this thing. There's building to these crescendo. And suddenly it stops when they get the thing going again. You know, whatever was happening in the movie at the time is completely done. Then it skips forward 20 minutes. Now they're going to skip it back 20 minutes. And apparently there was almost a riot. Like literally a riot. And I'm wondering about...
Actually, I can see why that would happen. Because when I was a kid...
Yeah,
if that
these aren't
had
kids.
Happened when my friends and I went to see Return of the Jedi, we would have started throwing stuff.
I wouldn't
because
be willing
we were
to bet precious
so
few of
amped.
These people are kids.
You people take Star Wars way too serious.
I did for a long time. My first wedding, I got married to Princess Leia's theme. I mean, it was, you know.
Dude.
I'm telling you.
The first Christmas.
Yeah.
We had Yoda. As a star on the tree.
I've always put like a plastic hand puppet of Yoda mm-hmm. And I stuck a Santa hat on one ear, and I had always put that on my Christmas tree. And so the first year he's living here, I go to put the star on the tree. And Bruce looks at me and says, oh, no, 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 no. I'm like, it's Yoda. It's the spirit of Christmas. Look, he's wearing a Santa hat.
I have a perfectly good Yardo angel on the top of the tree.
So what ended up happening is because I couldn't use my Yoda on the tree, my ex came and claimed it. I was so mad.
He can't use it on the tree either.
Yeah, he does.
Shocker. He has a Christmas tree?
I don't know if they do it every year, but he often has a little Christmas
Hanukkah
tree.
Hanukkah bush?
He gets a little Christmas tree, and she does her Hanukkah thing. I mean, he's actually Buddhist, so it doesn't really matter. I mean,
happy Buddha Kwanzaa?
Yeah, happy Buddha Kwanzaa. My poor kid. He's got a Christian mom, a Jewish stepmom, and a Buddhist father. No wonder he's a Rastafarian. or Pastafarian or whatever it is. Yes, the flying spaghetti monster. That's okay. What he does.
Connor?
Yes.
You sure he's not a Weedafarian?
I'm positive. I'm positive about that.
Not all that positive about it, but okay.
That's because you're suspicious of everybody.
Let's see here. Bill and Deborah both sent this in. Schools in Texas are reviewing for economics, teaching people about the cocaine dealing trade.
Well, you know, life skills. We got to learn life skills
here.
We get
a job?
It's a job description now, apparently.
I know, but we have a chance at a professorship.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys could be a professor emeritus.
I think I have a master's degree in cocaine economics.
Artist in residence.
This is teaching children valuable life skills.
A Texas school district, which is
metrics.
Keller School District, it's a sixth grade assignment that had students making a step-by-step plan showing how cocaine gets from a drug cartel to a street dealer. Now, people are kind of wondering if this is mayhaps a good idea to be teaching the chillens how to do this. KTVI-TV had reported that a teacher in Keller, which is northwest of where it's kind of near where Fort Worth is, gave out a science class. Now, wait a minute. Called a science class agreement. I thought it was an economics class. It's a science class assignment called the cocaine trade from field to street. One of the parents, Scott Pick, says he contacted the administration after his 11-year-old son brought home the study sheet for the assignment on following a sequence. He says he felt it was a diagram of how to become a drug dealer.
It was. And everyone hates Scott Pick. All the kids are like, man, I could have been somebody.
I could have been a contender.
The school you should train the kids up in the way they should go. I'm just saying, you know.
The school has decided that possibly they might should review this.
Yeah, that might be a little bit inappropriate, do you think?
Why? People taking all the fun out of it today.
Well, they're probably thinking, you know, more along the lines of why don't they do a flow diagram on how cheese gets from cow to store. That might be a little less inflammatory.
True.
More constipatory, but, you know, less inflammatory.
We have one from Brian.
Brian, who's Brian?
We know who Brian is.
Brian. The funny thing is he didn't send the Utah one. We did get one about Utah. That was the first one, but that was from Elizabeth. So Brian says, teachers at a suburban Detroit elementary school felt a little ill after eating brownies.
Oh, here we go. Who made them?
A kid in the Texas science class.
That's right.
It was a plate of baked goods was just left in the lounge at the Spring Mill Elementary School in Highland Township. Deputies were called on a complaint of tainted food. Tainted food. You don't want me to go there?
Why?
It doesn't
touch
work.
Me, baby, tainted food. All right. We won't go 80s song on that then. Let's see. Two teachers felt ill but did not seek treatment. Okay. One of the teachers became ill and tested positive for marijuana at the hospital. Two others felt ill, did not seek treatment.
Because they were having too much fun.
They were seeking more brownies, I think.
Yes.
That's what we would have been doing.
I know. Okay, you never. And I
what about the 14 teachers that it didn't seem to affect any differently at all?
Yeah.
The kids had really good days in school and no freaking homework.
The deputies did recover the remaining brownies, which tested positive for the active ingredient of marijuana. I'm wondering if it's one of those things. There was 3 dozen brownies. The cops confiscated 2 dozen brownies, but they actually only had 7 brownies when they got to the testing facility.
I know from personal experience that when food or beverages mysteriously, miraculously appear in the break room at work, do not partake. Because whatever it is, is either a prank from somebody or something that someone thought was so disgusting they didn't want it in their house. They figured, ah, I'll take it to work. Everybody will eat it there. And I know this because I used to do that.
Ah.
There was, three Christmases ago or whatever, four Christmases, I went on a
T-binge. You sure it wasn't last Christmas?
No, it was not. And don't even start.
I gave
can
you
I
my
finish
heart.
My goddamn? Oh, whoops, sorry. Excuse
the
me.
The very next
swear.
Day,
I never
you
get
cussed
to finish
away.
The story. I never get to finish the story. Anyway, so I went on a tea buying binge. You know, they have come out with all the holiday teas, and I discovered that a tea that was in called Eggnoggin was one of the top 10 most vile beverages I have ever consumed in my life. Because eggnog and tea, black tea, do not go together. I don't know what the Bigelow Company thought they were doing, but it was... I noticed that they did not produce it this year, too. This it was not on their list for this year. So I took the rest of the box into work, and everybody got all excited. Ooh, holiday tea! That box sat there until the day I left. There was still at least half a box left. That's how gross it was. You never eat anything
so
that doesn't have a name on it.
The grossest substance that you had ever found as
and
far as tea went.
And I didn't tell them I brought it.
You left it at the library.
Yes.
Much like the way these brownies were left for the unsuspecting
exactly,
people.
Exactly.
Because you
saying.
Know some people drank that.
Yes.
Thinking it was going to be bitching.
Yes.
But you knowing it was horrible. Did you really, really, really hate those people that much?
Apparently, subconsciously, I must have.
All the people you talk so fondly of?
What, all two of them?
They went into that break room, right? Possibly made tea.
Actually, no, Nanette wasn't even working there.
I was
going to
say, you didn't even warn them? Don't drink the tea?
I did warn one person. I warned Lance, our maintenance guy.
Don't drink the tea?
Yes. I told him it was gross, but I didn't tell him I brought it. I'm terrible. Should I make amends for that?
No.
Alaska. Anchorage.
Yes.
So they're bringing in, apparently in the cold weather military bases, they go through a significant amount of lip balm.
Well, yeah.
So they brought in cases and cases, as they always do, of this lip balm. This lip balm is, I'm not sure if it has the name of it. Let's see. This is weird because the people on the base that distribute the lip balm are the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office.
What?
The Sexual Response Prevention, Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office are the ones that distribute the lip balm.
Why?
I don't know.
Ew.
Yeah, it's, let's see.
Give him a break.
It's on
you
the list
see.
As chapstick, but it's
read them ahead
it's
time,
got weed
it
in it.
It's got what?
Weed.
In the lip balm.
It's got hemp seed oil.
That's not weed.
Actually, it is. Yes, hemp is weed.
Hemp is like a fiber you get from the plant. You can make crap out of it, like sandals and stuff.
And what happens if you smoke the plant?
What happens if you smoke your sandals?
Same thing.
Wait, so people that buy those hemp cotton skirt thingies, they could smoke their skirt?
I think that's mixed with other things you probably wouldn't want to, but yeah.
Huh.
George Washington, big grower of weed at one time. As many of our founding fathers were, actually, because they made rope out of hemp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, they purchased it mistakenly. I don't think it told the actual name of it. But they had 400 tubes of it. And they sent a thing around, please throw this away.
And nobody did.
Well, probably some people did.
Smoked it.
Yeah, there are people eating their lip balm.
It says it does not have a significant amount of THC. However, you will register positive on a THC test for using it.
Well, perfect excuse.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a perfect excuse. Just say, it's the lip balm.
Okay, so this is going to be the last thing for this. This was from 2015's, it's going to sound goofy, funniest cat names. The funniest
Kay.
Cat names.
Lime-o's.
Go ahead.
These are in no particular order. We have...
Well, they're in whatever order they're in.
Ally McClaw.
Eh.
Catalie Portman.
Eh.
Eh.
Catsy Cline.
Eh. Mm. Clever, but eh.
Chairman Mao.
I've heard that one before.
Great.
See, I like that one. Fleas Witherspoon.
Eh.
Anderson Pooper.
Okay, I like that one.
Bing Claude.
Eh.
Butch Cassidy.
Eh.
Yeah.
Cat Stevens.
How original.
Yeah, really.
Catrick Swayze.
Eh.
Wait.
The Dalai Lama.
Okay.
Fuzz Aldrin.
Eh.
Jean-Luc Picat.
Eh.
Mr. Miyagi.
Eh.
The Notorious C.A.T.
Who sent this story in?
It wasn't a sent story.
Bruce found this.
I found it.
This is
I
what
didn't
you
say it
find
was good.
Humorous. You found this humorous.
I thought, you know what did it for me?
This
the Notorious.
Explains so much about my marriage. It explains Bruce. It explains
you know,
everything.
You know what it sold me on it? The Notorious C.A.T.
Where's Pussy Galore?
Yeah, that would have been better.
Actually, that was probably there somewhere. I didn't see it. You liked Anderson Pooper.
That one was okay.
Which could be a dog's name, too.
Jeez.
And that, my thing, my that, my friends, thank God, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
This is what happens when we let him get the news, when I get let him get the news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Come on, Shelly.
Welcome back.
To the same old place that you laughed about. Come on, Shelly.
Shelly doesn't want
to
play.
You know that the people have been asking for it.
But no, they haven't. Nobody said anything like that.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Guys, let me go on record here and say that
nobody's
even though
me
everyone,
to sing it.
Even though everyone overwhelmingly said that they like hearing Shelly get irritated at the welcome back Carter thing,
yes.
Would anyone like to hear her
no,
sing
don't.
It?
We've already been through this, and I already said no, not if she's
don't
at my hair.
Don't we have it recorded?
I don't. Do we have it recorded?
I don't know.
So, Shelly, we have a topic.
Yes, you do.
Well, let's hear it.
Steps 8 and 9.
There you go. Now, one of them, in my humble opinion, super fast. The other
yes.
one, super slow.
May take a lifetime.
I love the fact that, who was it, alcoholic number 3 or whatever, went through town in like 3 days and did like his entire night step. And I'm like,
well,
that guy wasn't as notorious
well,
as many guys I know.
He wasn't very popular.
Well, no, also keep in mind that back then, early part of the century, people didn't move around as much as they do now. You know, you could be born, grow up, and die in the same place.
On the same street.
Yeah.
You could, sometimes although I must house. Say, yes. I must say, the whole way Alcoholics Anonymous got thrown around is from people traveling.
Traveling salesmen.
Well, yeah.
So they met him in that town. He may not have been a traveling salesman.
No, he wasn't. So, you're coming up.
I forget who he was. I mean, somebody, I'm sure Eddie C.
Knew him.
No, told, I'm talking about a different Eddie C. Because he knows everything about the history of the program, probably knows his name.
How annoying is that?
Why? Is that annoying?
Well, Eddie C. is long gone.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the other Eddie C.
Ooh, careful.
The one we still know. I don't want to say the other initial because then it's a dead giveaway. He knows everything about everything in the program, and he can. And I'm sure he's told
Mark,
us who this is.
He knows everything about everything. That'll tell you exactly what he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Everything about everything.
How annoying is that?
Pretty significantly annoying.
When a guy can pick, like, two lines in the book and talk about
pontificate.
It for, like, a month.
Okay, yeah, that kind of...
So,
that kind of annoying?
That's
so it's shall you give us what step eight is?
Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all.
Don't you love the fact that
Which
the big book
did.
In the line right after that says, you already have this list. You made it when you wrote your inventory. I'm like,
which I burned.
I'm like, then how did this become a step?
Which I burned.
No, you're supposed to cut the
Yeah, you're supposed to cut
the Yeah, but they don't tell you that at the time.
No, they don't,
yeah,
but
that's
your
sponsor's
supposed
for.
To know that.
But what I think is funny is, here's a step written to be a step that by the time you get to it in the book says, you already did this, so why is it a step?
Well, this is the part where you become willing to make amends.
Yeah, there's two parts to this step.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I mean, the first part doesn't really need to be in there because you already, it'll tell you right
you
there.
Won't you won't
know
what to use otherwise.
Huh?
You won't know what to use otherwise.
Yeah.
We just spent three steps talking about, you know, doing the inventory, getting rid of the inventory, and getting rid of your character defects, and then the list of people you harmed is part of that thing you just did. I don't know. So what do you do with people, Shelley? You got a newcomer. Well, they're not really a newcomer now because they're at step eight.
Take a pair of scissors and I cut the name list off.
Okay.
What I just said.
And you've had...
I've had three or four new people working on this too. Well, actually,
you had one really new person.
Three of them, we did not cut the names off because I give them the option of whether they want to burn their inventory or not. Because my sponsor told me not to. I still have mine. So when we made the list,
you should publish
that.
Wait till you see Shelley's next ebook. Her inventory. You went probably millions of people would buy it. They'd be like, really?
There's
Someone's publishing their inventory?
And the amazing thing is, now that I've heard a few inventories, I understand why my sponsor fell asleep during the middle of listening to my inventory.
Yeah, I mean, I've shared most things from my inventory in open meetings, so.
Most is the keyword there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. I'm not sure when the statute of limitations run out on them.
Well, so I just, on three of them, I just had them take their inventory and copy down, make a list of the names. It takes 2 seconds. Okay, maybe a minute. And then the fourth one, I literally, what I just said, I had them cut the strip of names off the first, you know, cut the first column off. There you go, presto, instant names.
How about you, Mark?
Take the list right off the fourth step and, you know, I think it's really funny that it's usually a pretty easy step because by the time they get done doing 4, 5, 6, and 7, they're willing to do anything.
I forgot to mention this during step 6 and 7, too. When it talks about, you know, making a list of your character defects, I didn't have to do that.
Neither did I.
My sponsor handed me a printed list of my character defects. I'm like, what is this? And he goes, I downloaded it. And I'm like, how do you know it fits me? He goes, all of those fit you. And I'm reading through them. I'm like, okay, yeah, but still. And he goes, what do you think? You're different? And I'm like, well, no. And he goes, you got the same character defects everybody else does.
You had a yeah, but still.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but.
Okay, I don't actually download a list, but I do, as I'm listening to the inventory, I do write them down, but I write them down as I come upon them when they're reading.
Oh,
but
I just check them off.
It ends up being every single time the same things that are on my list. That were probably on my sponsors list.
Well, I go down the list, and every time they hit one, I check it off. Mm-hmm. Check it off till they get all the way to the end, and they're all checked off. Some of them I might have a bunch of checks.
Bunch of checks, yeah.
Yeah, because you really need to work on this.
Like self-absorbed.
Yeah. Yeah, like a number of things. Okay, so now, so you're done teaching them, doing
the
step eight.
They're willing. Now what?
And they're willing. Now, it's time to go out. How do you advise, Mark? How do you advise people that you're sponsoring to? Are you one of those guys that say go to, take an easy one first to get you in the groove of it, or go for a hard one first, or how do you do it?
I usually try to have them start with family first.
Mom and dad, wife, kids.
Yeah.
Those are usually pretty big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the biggest ones.
Mom, dad, siblings, aunts, uncles.
I actually start, maybe it's the difference between women and men, but usually the first person I start with is the sponsee.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell them that their job for the next 30 days is, along with their prayer or meditation or whatever it is they do, that they have to sit there and consciously think, I am worthy of the gifts of the program, as a way to forgive themselves, because that's for women
at
least.
And I forgive myself for the damage I've done to me.
Exactly. And for women, that's a huge thing, because women historically have way low self-esteem.
And way high guilt.
Yes.
How's that working for you?
Kiss my ass.
I'm just asking.
See? Much better.
It's working great.
I'm just asking the question. I'm not making a judgment call.
Well, it's working a lot better than it used to.
Well, that's because you're a published author now.
I'm no longer suicidal. That's a huge step in the right direction.
By the way, Shelley's ebook.
Yes, and it was published on Monday.
Shelley updated her status. Shelley Burnett updated her status. It's available on Amazon.
Yep.
Go get it. Go get it. Go get it. It costs less than having a Starbucks.
I know. That's what one of our friends who used to be a barista for Starbucks told us. Hey, that's less than a mocha.
That's right. Now, okay, so Mark, you tell them to do family first.
Yeah, well, I recommend that. I mean, it just depends what they've got. And then from there, it's kind of moving through the list and taking the time to identify the ones that always seem to bear the question, how do I make amends for this?
Yes.
Because, you've got that second part of the ninth step. But the accept when to do so would injure them or others.
Yes. You gave an analogy of that once.
Yeah.
Guy bangs one of his friend's wives or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a bad habit when out there carrying around a bag full of cocaine of ending.
Were you sharing your experience, strength, and length with others?
With others, yes. Yeah. And
giving some serenity injections?
Making them feel better.
Yes.
I was a calming influence.
Dr. Feelgood.
Yes.
So
I thought they were crazy about me.
We're crazy about the cocaine.
Yeah.
So you bang someone's wife. How do you make amends for that?
I'm not admitting to anything.
You go up and tell him, hey, I'm sorry I banged your wife.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't even know.
Yeah. Exactly. So.
No.
I think the book calls that leading with the chin.
Yeah, that would not work. And my sponsor and I had a very long talk about what, and people give different various names to it. He called it universal amends. Other people call it...
Shelley calls it loophole.
Living amends, the whole thing, But it's like, what do you do? Well, stop doing it is always the first best idea.
and make it part of your amends in your program that you don't do that.
Yes.
And
makes sense.
You know. So.
How about you, Shelly? Now it's time. It's their ninth step. Go forth, you tell them.
Well, go forth one thing at a time. We usually I say, okay, which one of the things on this list of people, which one of these people do you really not want to contact right now? And the minute they tell me, that's their first one.
I don't want to talk to this one. Oh, good.
Oh, good. That's the first one.
Because everyone after this will be easy.
And you know why I do that? Because my sponsor did it. I do. And people have asked me, so how do you do this? How do you do this? And I said, well, I do it the way my sponsor did it, because that's what I was taught to do. I do what she did. But there's also, and I don't know how program-oriented this is, but there is one thing that I do, and maybe this is, again, you know, we're talking about women versus men. Sometimes I specifically tell sponsees, do not contact that person, because it may be physically or emotionally damaging to my sponsee, because whatever it was that happened that ended up on their inventory, you know, I tell them, you can write a letter. I don't even care if you know where this person is. Do not contact this person. Do not get around them. Don't go near them, because it could be dangerous for them. You know, that's my suggestion. And I did have one sponsee that had something on her list. Oh, this was a while back, that I told, I didn't give her any suggestion at all. I said, you know what? I can't actually tell you what to do. My suggestion would be for you to make an appointment with a therapist, because I'm not a therapist and I can't handle that kind of damage. Yep. That's not my job. And I didn't want to harm her further. So,
sure.
You know, but most of the time it's like you said, it's mostly, you know, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my aunt, you know, who it's your family that you've, you know, the people that we are closest to are the ones we usually damage the most. Mm-hmm. So.
With guys, it might be a little different.
Yeah.
Because had some guys who've wreaked some havoc out there.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, and if that's the case, let's just say there was a guy who was inappropriate with certain females. Is it damaging to them after many years have gone by for him to reach out and make contact again?
You don't know. That's the problem.
But it could be.
It could be, and you don't know, because you don't know whether the woman has gone through therapy, has worked through whatever it was that was damaging to her. You just don't know.
So by doing it, you could be running the risk of injuring them.
Yeah, of harming someone, you know, of getting...
Loophole!
Of helping yourself.
You can drive a truck through that one.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is you just don't know. And so I tend to want to err on the side of caution in my suggestions with people.
So when it comes to sex, folks, just throw them all out.
No, I'm not saying throw them all out.
Right.
It's just there are some times when, you know, especially if a woman that I'm sponsoring has been in a abusive relationship when she was, you know, getting the crap kicked out of her, you really want me to send her back to the person who kicked the crap out of her because she did a couple of things that she feels bad about?
Well, she should probably be in jail, so it should be pretty safe for her to visit him.
Well...
How about money owed?
You got to pay it back.
How about money owed in drug deals?
Oh.
I did not pay money back in drug deals.
Oh,
my sponsor told me
to
put an extra dollar in the basket to keep other people from getting
there you go.
In those scrapes.
So, he says you're only 122,000 meetings away from being square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because money you owe in drug dealings is completely different than money you owe. It's not the same thing. Giving drug dealers money is not helping anybody but the drug dealer. You want to take money that you owe to drug dealers, put extra money in the basket every week until you think you're paid off. If you think about it, your problem is, I mean, I've been sober, 9,500 days or something. So even if I put a dollar in a basket every day, that's only $9,500. It's a lot of dollars, but
that covered that one.
Yeah.
That one weekend in Cancun. Well, it falls under the, you know, made direct amends, except when to do so would injure them or others. If you go and pay back your dealers that you owe money to, you end up injuring people that are still
He's going to buy more drugs, sell more drugs.
Yes.
Someone's going to overdose.
Right. You're Loophole. Injuring other people.
A lot of loopholes in this one. For my very first amends, my sponsor said I had lifted a significant amount of material from a place I did business at, and my sponsor said that we're going to go do that one first. And I had worked for a May company and had lifted them for quite a bit of jewelry and went to
Robinson's May.
Robinson's May, because May Company wasn't there. And I went in and I started telling the guy the story and said, I'm just here to make amends and I'm supposed to be willing to work for you guys or whatever. And I always thought it was kind of funny. You know, here I am telling him I used to steal from him, but I'll be happy to work for you. The guy's going to be like, oh, sure, come here and work.
Yeah. And I'll work overnights and everything.
The guy is listening to me.
On the loading dock.
And he's listening. I'm going through the whole thing. And at the end, he goes, oh, my God. And I'm thinking, he's about to pick up the phone. He's going to call security. And I remember thinking for a brief moment, am I going to try and make a break for it and run? Or am I going to sit here and let him come and arrest me? And he goes, oh, my God. He goes, I can't believe you would come in here and tell me that. And he goes, you know, I've heard about this before. He goes, my uncle's in the program. He says, I've heard about this, but I've never actually seen anyone do it. He goes, That takes cojones. You know, he goes, you're going in to tell me. He goes, now I got to tell you. He goes, we're not May Company. The Robinson's May Company is gone a long time ago, and their insurance, I'm sure, paid for that at the time.
That's right.
And he's like, but...
And they're out of business now because of you. Congratulations.
Yeah. And he goes,
forced to sell.
I got to tell you, he goes, I'm simply amazed that you would come in here and do this. And he goes, I think that your amends have been made. I really want to congratulate you. And when I left his office, he's like, you know, really do the right thing and stay sober. And I walked out of his office, and the door closed behind me, and I'm like, yes! And I go out to the car. My sponsor's there, which I was kind of surprised because I wasn't sure if he was going to be there. And he goes, I knew you'd be back.
Yeah.
And he goes, now look, that was your hardest one? I said, yeah, absolutely. He goes, all the other ones are going to seem easy now. And he goes, did that one go okay? I'm like, yeah, it actually went spectacularly well. And he's like, great. He goes, that's the way it's supposed to be. And he goes, you know what? And it mostly will be that way. He goes, you're going to get some people that are going to smart from your injustice to them and still be pissed off. Mm-hmm. He goes, but your part is to clean your side of the street, to make your effort to do your part.
Yes.
I would like to point out that this is the part in the book that has the thing that bothers me the most in the entire book.
Which is what?
They're talking about
to the wives?
No. When they're talking about making amends, and it says specifically, in 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens. To which I always reply, if it happens 9 times out of 10, it's freaking expected.
That's true.
It drives me absolutely crazy every time we read that.
So that drives you more crazy than to the wives.
Well, to the wives is just, other than the 4 types of alcoholics, which is in that chapter, the rest of the book just drives me crazy because I'm like, the whole thing is a manual in how to be a doormat. It feels like to me, and I'm sure I'm reading it wrong. I'm positive I'm reading it wrong. But that's, if you look at...
You mean the part where it says the alcoholic may try to use this as... to hit you over the head with it, but don't let him do that because that's not what
it says
about.
That one time, the whole rest of the book.
How many times does it need to say it in one chapter?
It's the longest chapter in the book.
Yeah. So.
And the whole rest of the book is about, you know, letting him do his
it
program
says
thing and let him go off and do this and let him go off and do that. And I'm like,
it only says the third step prayer once in the book.
Yeah, when they're talking about the third step.
That's how many times I've said it. How many times
and,
have you
said
it?
And this says, don't. And this says, this is the alcoholic may think he can bash you over the head with this, but don't let him because that's not what this is. But that, because they only say it once, it's no good. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. One time in comparison with all the other times in that chapter where they talk about how you can just, you should just let him go off and do whatever he wants because now, you know, it's injurious to his sobriety.
So
you,
the entire book like, talks about self-will one riot. And they only talk about giving everything to God in the third step prayer once. Does that mean it's no good for all the rest of the other instances?
I didn't say it wasn't. All I'm saying is that chapter drives me crazy. In my copy of the book, all through Two Wives, with the exception of the part where it talks about the four alcoholics, it says WTF in about 10 different places.
It's because you're very overly sensitive to it.
Yeah, especially since that
could very... Because I'm also a wife of an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that chapter could be retitled to the husbands. For when their wife is the one who's the alcoholic. Hello, Miss Alcoholic.
And it's actually not to the wives, it's just two wives.
Okay, two husbands.
Should be now two spouses, I suppose.
Yeah, you got to remember.
Yeah.
In that chapter, you're the he and I'm the wife.
And vice versa.
Yeah. And?
I'm just saying.
So you're both the husband and the wife?
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Well, you know, I can F
go
myself.
Fuck yourself.
F myself. If I had to. So, Shelley.
What?
What would your final words on 8 and 9 be?
8 is not, like you said, if you were willing to have God remove all your defects of character, you better be willing to have to go make amends at this point. You've gotten this far. So 8 is a dawdle. And 9, just do it one thing at a time. You may never finish it. Just do your best.
Mark?
Just remember while doing step 9 that in step 8 you decided to be willing to do it. So stay willing.
Say what?
Stay willing.
Yes. Mine would be 8's a no-brainer. I always assume my guys are ready to do another step unless we start to do it and then they have some kind of misgivings.
Or they get loaded.
Step 9, I'm exactly the way the book says. The important thing is not whether you get full resolution out of something. It's not whether you get thrown out of someone's office. It's that you have taken the time to try to sweep your side of the street. What happens on their side of the street doesn't matter. Sweep your side of the street. The important thing is that you make the effort to make things right. So, Mark, we have a friend in the Inland Empire.
We do?
I think so.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Because I'm in the Inland
Empire.
Yeah,
sure.
No. Go to 12stepgazette.com/IE.
Sweet.
And check out the dude. And
sweet.
Check out the publication online. And subscribe.
Yeah.
Spend some money.
Shelley.
What?
We have people that listen to the show in
right.
other ways and forms.
Any way you listen to the show, we really appreciate. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics. If you're not, you'll have the opportunity to become a member. What?
His cankles.
I have a cankle.
Yes, you have cankles.
I have a swollen ankle.
Now you threw me off. You can become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can like old shows. You can leave comments and topic suggestions. You can add us to playlists for all your party needs. And you can follow. So you will get automatic updates of when we post the show. If you want to join Podomatic with Facebook, it's really easy. You just hit join with Facebook and then it will happen like magic. And they don't.
It just happens?
It just happens. And apparently they don't spam your page. They don't automatically post anything. So it's not like anybody would know. So go for it.
Which is weird because these days you almost half expect them to post on your behalf and they just don't. If you are Facebook friendly, like Shelley said, it's real easy to join Podomatic. You just click in, log in with Facebook.
I just said that.
That's why I said, as Shelley just said,
then
and then
say
repeated it,
again? It. What are you, the Huell-Hauser of recovery?
Well, because
now?
Apparently for you, if it only says something one time in a chapter, it doesn't count. So I say it twice, and now I'm doing the wrong thing. Which is it, Shelley? Come on.
It's both. I'm an enigma wrapped in a conundrum.
See, there should be the chapter. To the husbands of Shelley. She is not to
Epic
be placed on a
roll.
Pedestal and wrapped in whatever it was.
Cotton wool.
Swaddling cloth.
No, that was the baby Jesus.
Yeah, well, I know, but you're kind of acting kind of dietetic
so
right
like
now.
So like 7 brides for your brother?
Dietetic? You mean
that's
I,
like
I'm
dietetic.
Like I'm on a diet.
But like you're a deity. Yeah. if you are Facebook friendly, it's real easy to like us on the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page on Facebook. If you'd like to join the Recovery 101 secret group, you can do that as well. You need to message either Shelley Burnett or Bruce Burnett or Bill Piper or the Radio Show fan page, and we can add you to that group. By the way, if we add you to that group, the group is not filled, I don't think, with newcomers, but if you see, it is a kind of a Rule 62 group. You know, we are Recovery 101 Rule 62, so sometimes you may see things in there that are a little more funny. I did take down a post the other day from my good friend Cindy because it annoyed somebody else. But just remember, it's a Rule 62 group, so don't get too caught up. If you really feel strongly about something, you can talk to one of the admins about it. But as a general rule, we're probably not going to take stuff down because we're kind of wacko that way. Oh, yeah. Also, if you're on Facebook, look up Terminally Unique Clothing. The actual website is terminallyuniqueapparel.com, but on Facebook, it's Terminally Unique Clothing. And check them out. We've got all kinds of shirts and goodies and stuff. We've got the Sons of Anonymity tees and hoodies. We've got Retired Carpet Farmer. It's a cool deal. So check out terminallyuniqueapparel.com and Terminally Unique Clothing on Facebook. Let's see. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send tips, tricks, and jingles and lead out music and stuff like that to that address. And then you can check out our videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We surely do not. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Our new friend Damon Robertson.
Damon, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.